Now we come in chapter 5 to the first section of the book of Genesis, Genesis 1 to 11. We have here the first section, world events and creation, the fall, now the flood from 5 to 9, and this gives us the background. And we have here in chapter 5 the book of the generation of Adam through Seth. Cain's line's been given to us and it's dropped. Not be mentioned only as it crosses the godly line. And that'll be a pattern that'll be set in the book of Genesis. Now, chapter 5, in one sense, is one of the most discouraging and despondent chapters in the Bible. And the reason is just simply this. It's like walking through a cemetery. And you find out that when God said, in the day that you eat thereof, you'll die, they all died that were the sons of Adam. In Adam all die, Paul says. And now I'm reading chapter 5 of Genesis, verse 1. This is the book of the generations of Adam. In the day that God created man, in the likeness of God made he him. Male and female created he them. Now, will you notice? And he blessed them, and he called their name Adam, not the Adamses, but Adam, in the day when they were created. She's the other half of him. But we have this strange expression, the book of the generation of Adam. It only occurs in the beginning of the New Testament, and there it's the book of the generation of Jesus Christ. Now, there are these two books, and we're already seeing there are two lines, two seeds, they're against each other. And their struggle's going to be long. The line of Satan and the line of Christ, the accepted line. Now we have here that the line that we're following now is the one through Seth. And we're told Adam lived 130 years, and he begat a son in his own likeness. Now, when Adam was 130 years old, how old was he? When God created Adam, did he create him 30 years old or 14 or 45? I don't know. Anything would be speculation. And if he created him that old, was he that old? And, of course, God could create him that old. That, may I say, that answers a lot of the questions about the age of the earth. Somebody says, why, these rocks are billions of years old. Maybe you just don't know. Maybe God, when he created them 2 or 3 billion years old. He could have done that, of course. I do not know. But what we're saying here, that when Adam had been here 130 years, he begat a son in his own likeness. Now, Adam was made in the likeness of God, but his son is born in his likeness. And he called his name Seth. Now we start through the graveyard. What happened to Seth? Well, he lived, begat sons and daughters, and Adam did too. And we read that what happened to Adam? Well, all the days that Adam lived were 930 years. What happened? He died, verse 5. And then verse 8, why, what happened to Seth? He died, and he had a son over the name of Enos. What happened to him? Verse 11, he died. But he had a son, and Canaan was his son. And what happened to old Canaan? What happened to him? Verse 14, he died too. And he had a son, Mahalalel. And what happened to him? Verse 17, he died. But he had a son. His name was Jared. Well, he died too. Verse 20. And then he had a son by the name of Enoch. And he lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. And then he died? No, he didn't die. This is a dark chapter, but this is the bright spot in it. And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years, and he begat sons and daughters, and all the days of Enoch were 365 years, and Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. May I say to you, this is one of the most remarkable things, that in the midst of death, one man is removed from this earth. And it is said of him that he walked with God. That is quite remarkable, by the way. Only two men walked with God. We'll see in the next chapter, Noah walked with God. And now we find that Enoch walked with God. These were the two antediluvians. And there are actually only two men who did not die here in the Old Testament. And we find one of them is Enoch, and the other, of course, was Elijah. And, by the way, this is one of the few before the flood that we have any record of him at all. And we're told here that he didn't die, that God took him. He was translated. Now, what do we mean by translation? Well, translation means you take out of one language a word and put it in another language meaning the same thing. And so Enoch was removed from this earth, translated. You see, he had to get rid of this old body he had. He had to be a different individual, but he had to be the same individual because he was translated, and the word has to be the same. Enoch was taken to heaven. We'll have more to say about that next time, but our time is up for today, and we'll pick up right there next time. Now today we return back to our story in the 5th chapter of Genesis, and we saw the story of this man Enoch. And this man Enoch, for 65 years, I don't know how he lived, but then he begat Methuselah, and then he walked with God after he begat Methuselah. I don't know that he did before, I'm sure he didn't. But if a little child in a home won't bring you to God, nothing else will, is my thinking in this connection. And then after that, for 300 years, he walked with God. He begat other children, sons and daughters. Now all the days of Enoch were 365 years. That is, that's how long he was on this earth. But he didn't die. It doesn't say then Enoch died. But it says Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. And the only way I know to describe that is the way the little girl described it who'd been to Sunday school. When she came home, her mother said, "What'd you talk about today? That what'd the teacher tell you?" And he says, "Well, teacher told us about Enoch, and he walked with God." And the mother says, "Well, what about Enoch?" And the little girl put it something like this. She said, "Well, it seems that every day God would come by and say to Enoch, 'Enoch, would you like to walk with me?' And Enoch would come out of his house and come down to the gate, and he'd go walking with God. And it got so that he enjoyed it so that he'd be waiting at the gate of his house every day. And God would come along and say, 'Enoch, let's take a walk.' And one day God came by and says, 'Enoch, let's take a long walk. I've so much to tell you.' And so they were walking and walking. And finally Enoch says, 'My, it's getting late in the afternoon.' He said, 'I better get back home.' And God said to him, 'Enoch, you're closer to my home than you are to your home. So you come on home with me.' And so Enoch went home with God." I don't know how you can put it any better than that, friends. That is exactly the story that is here. Now, of course, this is a picture, in my judgment, of what is to come. Great truths in Genesis, and I think all great truths, are here in Germain. Here's the rapture of the church. Before the judgment of the flood comes, why, God remove Enoch. And now we're told here, and Methuselah lived 180 years. And we're told he lived 969 years. Now, he lived longer than Adam. And very candidly, these two men, Adam and Enoch, pretty well bridge the gap between creation and the flood. The fact of the matter is, this man, Methuselah, could have told Noah everything from the creation of the world, according to our genealogy. Now, I personally feel that we have a gap in the genealogy given here. And we know that is the way the New Testament opens, because we know that the genealogy that was given of the Lord Jesus leaves out quite a few, and purposely so, because there is an attempt to give it in three equal segments, and certain ones are left out. But you'll notice it follows through accurately, and here I'm sure it's accurate. But the important thing is we may have a gap in here, and that would account to my judgment, for the fact that man's been on this earth a great deal longer than we give him credit for being here. But that is something I don't care to go into because it's quite an involved subject. And when I completed the Through the Bible program and was in the book of Revelation, and I very candidly said that I did not know who the two witnesses were. And I felt sure this would happen. You'd be amazed the number of people who know who those two witnesses are. And they've all suggested to me, the ones, of course, I've heard before, but even after reading the arguments of some of them, I'm convinced that I do not know, and furthermore, I'm a little disturbed with these people because they think they know, and they don't know. May I say to you, Scripture's not clear at that point, and Scripture's not clear right here. Why isn't it? Because God is not anxious to insist upon that. What he's trying to get over to you is the religious, the redemptive history of mankind on this earth. Now, we find out that the name of Methuselah means sending forth. Actually, that's the way that his name is. It means a sending forth. And that's quite interesting. If you want me to give all of it, Dr. Newberry in his book, The Deluge, gives this as the meaning of Methuselah. When he is dead, it shall be sent. What will be sent? Well, a flood. As long as Methuselah lived, the flood could not come. And the very interesting thing, according to a chronology that I have here, that is a genealogy of the patriarchs, and it gives the chronology of all of them, the year that Methuselah died is the year that the flood came. That's quite interesting. When he's dead, it shall be sent. That's the meaning of his name. Why did he live longer than any other person? God kept him here just to let mankind know that God was patient and merciful. God will wait for you, friends, also, all your life. And you read over in 1 Peter 3:20 about the long-suffering of God. Well, he was long-suffering. Now, as we continue down through the rest of this fifth chapter, why, everybody's mentioned here. Lamech is mentioned, and he died, and he had a son by the name of Noah. And we are told, the last verse, Noah was 500 years old, and Noah begat Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Now, the theory today, and the popular theory in the world, it's amazing how men go blindly on accepting it. In fact, I think all philosophy concludes that human nature is inherently and innately good, and that it can be improved. That's the whole program that is abroad today, that if you'll just try to improve the environment of man and his heredity, that he can really be improved. Communism and socialism seek to improve man. Arminianism means man can assist in his salvation. Modernism says man can save himself. In other words, salvation is a sort of a do-it-yourself kit that God gives to you. And then some of the cults, they tell you that human nature's totally good, and there's no such thing as sin. Well, what does God say concerning man? Well, God says that man is totally evil, totally bad. That's the condition of all of us. None good. No, not one. That's the estimate of the Word of God. Now, if you will accept God's Word for it, may I say it'll give you a truer conception of life today than is given to us by others. Now, here is mankind, and we are following a godly line now. And what's it going to lead to? Is it going to lead to a millennium here upon this earth? Are they going to come to Elysian fields and establish a utopia? No. The very next chapter, chapter 6, tells us that a flood came on the earth. And the flood was a judgment from God.